I'd like to thank all of you for coming and for those who have built this program and participated in it this morning. Have you ever been in hot water? Have you ever been without hot water? That's what happened to me this morning. I turned on the shower and waited for it to get warm and waited and waited and waited and realized I wasn't getting any hot water. So I had to fumble around and try to find a match. I never did find one. So I found one of those little things that you light the fireplace with, and I had a terrible time getting it to work. So I finally did get it to work and was able to light that tiny little pilot light back there. And I got my hot water, and I even shaved this morning. When I was growing up, I rarely thought of God or heard anything about God. I was wrapped up in just what I could experience with my five senses: hearing, seeing, feeling, smelling, and tasting. During World War II, I enlisted in the Navy, and this was unbelievably exciting for a young fellow right out of the mountains of Western Maryland. And after the war, when I was discharged and walked that familiar trail back home and stopped at the top of the mountain and looked down in the valley, and there was our little cabin. It looked awfully beautiful after being away for 3 years. My sister introduced me to a beautiful redhead, and I later married her, and this too was a whole new world for me. Then my wife started having kids. My outlook on life took a more serious note, and I began to improve myself to try to measure up to my new responsibilities. I became interested in some self-improvement books, and some of these books were very heavy for a high school dropout. I joined Jean, my wife, with her in a Methodist church, and began to believe that God was the ultimate in wisdom and authority. He could surely help me be a better person. So I became a Christian. That seemed to be what God was calling all of us to do, to prepare for full-time Christian service. I had no thought of anything so lofty as being a minister. I had to take a GED test, which enabled me at the ripe old age of 31 to go to college. But this time, my wife had given birth to six children altogether. I was working on the B&O Railroad, midnight to 8 in the morning, and then taking 12 hours in college. For anyone, this would have been difficult. But for a high school dropout, it was almost impossible. 10 years later, I completed college and seminary. And was ordained in the United Methodist Church. The Methodist Church became the United Methodist shortly afterwards, but still at that time it was the Methodist Church. Shortly before retiring, while spending some study time in my cabin on the mountains, I found myself wrestling with God in a kind of prayerful struggle and experienced what I call my epiphany. It seemed to me that God was telling me to lay down my burdens of theology and all the sermons that I've been preaching and listening to and studies, and just listen to that still, small voice down inside of you. You don't have to keep praying and asking me questions and getting permission to do this or that. Take the responsibility. You will know what to do. Just go ahead and do it. You can imagine what freedom this gave to me, what it did for my self-esteem. God trusted me. Wow. I explained this more thoroughly in my book, Wrestling with God. A few years later, after having served as a pastor of various churches for 30 years, I retired. My 37-year-old wife at the time had died, and I moved to Hendersonville with my two little kids, 6 and 7 years old, where I joined this Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. When I became interested in meditation, some of the members of one of the groups was surprised that I had joined the UUFH and thought I had lost my faith. I explained to them about my epiphany in Montana and that I was still on a journey of faith, still learning and growing, but I don't think they bought that. Here's the thing. After learning, studying, experience, preaching, and praying, I find myself more and more impressed with the experiences of nature. Here is where I find reality. I've learned a lot of good stuff and stuff that was unreal and unacceptable. And the more I have learned about nature, the more I'm convinced there is nothing outside of nature. Nature was before and after the Big Bang. Nature is reality for me. We still can learn more and more about nature. We can learn from space and from humans and from the earth and birds and bees and so forth. And we can also learn how to take the proper care of the earth and prosper from that. And everything animate and inanimate, all that we need to take care of. I've also learned not to put my treasure in a wet paper bag that can hold nothing outside of nature. I have also learned my own limitations in comprehending and depending on my knowledge and experience. In other words, I accept that there is mystery and more to be learned, at least for me. Mystery is that which I have not been able to understand. Along with my five senses, I have included several more, and I call them thinking, learning, loving, serving, sharing, evaluating, appreciating, and many more. And life goes on. Life is, in general, that is, not just here and now, at least not so we can always be identified. But once was me, after that I will give myself back to the earth from which I came to be recycled. Here is one of my poems that I have written that I think is appropriate. I call it The Old Oak Tree. I sit beneath the old oak tree and wonder what's in store for me. I feel connected to the sky and all the white clouds rolling by, the soft, soft breeze, the scent of flower, and even the black clouds' threat of shower embrace me now as I belong to one long, everlasting song. I feel safe in the woods. The old oak tree seems so permanent. Basically, it is my friend. I can see now how the old oak will die, fall, rot, and be no more. Permanence has its temporal aspect. So I, while part of the permanent, must accept my temporalness. Yet here is something even more permanent than the oak. It is growing and gives haven In its growing, it gives haven and food to the birds and squirrels, shade and protection from the storms, to bushes and plants beneath its outstretched limbs. In its dying, it nourishes the earth, giving sustenance to new life. To all that feed on its decaying parts, the old oak takes on new form as a part of all of that it nourishes. Its death is not the end of it, just a new beginning with new names. I could be like that old oak. My life does not end with my falling. Those who have fallen are always a part of us, as we are part of them. The vacant space in the forest where the great oak stood reminds us, for a time, how indispensable it was, or seemed to be, that were nourished by the old oaks. But in time, the branches, bushes, and other trees fill that space that were nourished by the old oak's fall. At such a time, you can count me with the Aborigines, American Indians, and Aztecs, Incas, as one of the wonders of the world that we don't understand. In closing, I'd like to read some of the Beatitudes that I have included in my book. These are my own Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are honest enough to see their own faults without need to justify them. Blessed are those who see the faults of others but are not contemptuous or disrespectful of them. Blessed are those who enjoy the fruits of their labors without coveting what their neighbors have. Blessed are those who have no ambition that would cost someone else their what is rightfully theirs. I've got my pages all mixed up here. Blessed are the kind-hearted, compassionate, honest, industrious, and generous. Blessed are those whose reason for living is to enhance all of life rather than to get more than they need, regardless of what it costs to others. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they know the joy of humility and simplicity. Blessed are those who strive for peace and goodwill toward everyone. Blessed are those whose lives are limited by confinement or inability to cope physically, mentally, or spiritually, so they are unable to appreciate or participate in the wonders of the world. Thank you very much.